Hello, everybody. My name is Alessandro Pilotti. I'm a Microsoft MVP and IAS and a long-time developer on PHP and Linux. So, in this webcast, we're going to talk about Drupal, Memcached, and Solr on a Windows box. Why Memcached? It's a very popular object caching system. It's a very popular object caching system, and it's very well integrated in Drupal. It's very useful to speed up websites by offloading work from the database. It has a very simple key value store with caching validation, so all requests are going to be served in almost constant time. It has a very low CPU usage. It's designed to use mainly memory as a resource. And it's designed also to have a half client, half server implementation, meaning that the client is choosing first to which servers to connect, and then the server will choose how to retrieve the data that you store there. Servers are not aware of each other, so there are no synchronization issues or typical problems of distributed environments. It has a very simple design. Memcache is designed to support a Unix daemon mode. There are some ports for Windows. If you look around on the web, you will find some pretty old resources, mainly related to 1.2 releases of Memcached. So if you want to have something more modern, you can take the sources from the official Git repository, which contains now our Windows compatible branch. You can see the Git clone instruction there. Currently, it's based on version 1.6.0 beta. You can also find an older version 1.3.3 available at the Git repository that you can find on GitHub on the slide now. You can build Memcached in Windows without any problem. It's pretty easy. There are all the instructions available there, and we will also do it in this webcast later. Note that you can build either a 32-bit or a 64-bit version. You can choose the latter if you need more than 4 GB of memory per instance. Otherwise, I suggest you to just stick with a 32-bit one. Here are two pre-built binaries that I created for you. The first one is the 1.3.3 version, and the second one is the latest 1.6.0 beta release. How to install it on Windows? So the best way is to run it as a service. What does it mean? Okay, first you have to get the binary. It's simple, the memcached exe files and some dependencies. And afterwards, you need something to wrap it inside of a Windows service. One of the options is to use Apache Procreant to wrap it. You can find it at the URL that you see in the slide now. For security reason, never use an account like administrator or system to run it. We will see how to create a simple user to be used by the service. So open also the required firewall ports. By default, the port is 11211. You need that only, of course, if you are connecting from a remote server. Limit possibly the IP client range as a best practice, and if possible, you can also use the SASL authentication. The first step is required to create a user memcached. Afterwards, we need to be sure that the user password is not going to expire, so that's why we ran this WMI script. Afterwards, since the memcached service will use this specific user, we need to assign some logon rights to the user. We can do that with a tool called NTRights from the Windows 2003 Resource Kit. Never mind if we are running on 2008 R2. We just need that specific exe file, which is available in the Windows 2003 Resource Kit, which is a free, of course, download from Microsoft. Afterwards, we can just take Apache Procreant and wrap the service. You can see here how to set the startup to be automatic. The start mode specifies that it's an exe executable. Start image is simply the exe file. And then here are some parameters that are related to the memcached process. The first one is just telling that the port is going to be 11211. We set the maximum memory used by memcached to 256. You can change this according to your needs. And then we say that the service is going to listen only on local host. You can change this, of course, for remote hosts by removing the minus L option. Finally, we just said that the service user is going to be memcached, and the service password is the one that you chose before. If you're using a remote host, besides removing the minus L option, you should also open the specific firewall port. Finally, we can just start the service. So how do we integrate Memcached in PHP? PHP requires a Pachyl extension to do that. There are two available, just to create some confusion. The first one is called memcache and the second is called memcached. The first one is available already in binary from the URL that you can see on the screen, so on the downloadsphp.net/pr. Memcached can be compiled from sources on Windows. Drupal works with both of them without any problem. Memcached is a little more advanced, so I mean there are a little bit more APIs, but for our needs the first one is enough. The memcached protocol is the protocol used by the client to communicate with the memcached server. So by default it's using an ASCII-based protocol, but it can also use the binary one, which is available from version 1.3. In order to use the binary one, which is a little bit more performant, you just have to go on PHP ini and set memcached.protocol binary for the memcache Pachyl extension. While for memcached, you can just set an option in the settings PHP file of your Drupal site. So what to do next? Well, we have to download a specific memcache module. We can use Drush for that. I noticed that by enabling the module on Windows, we get an error stating that the Pachyl memcached or memcache extension is not available, even if the memcache extension is there. So the easiest thing is just to comment that given error. Next step, we just enable the module. In settings PHP, you have now to tell your Drupal site to use memcache as a cache backend. Don't forget also to put the cache default class as memcache Drupal, and I really suggest to put a prefix in order for all your items in the cache to be prefixed by that given value that you're setting there. This way you can use the same server for multiple websites requiring memcache. You can now set up separate bins and servers, and you have a lot of examples available on the link that you see on the Drupal.org site on the slide right now. In order to install memcached, the first thing that we are going to do is to create a user. Now we are going to make sure that the password is not going to expire. Next, we need a tool called anti-writes, which is available in a specific resource kit, which is the Windows 2003 resource kit, which is free. We can install it here, even if it's not the same operating system. We're running on a 2008 R2. Set properly the path. And we set the required user rights in order to have the memcached user to run services. So actually it's the service logon right and the batch logon right. Now we can create a directory and just enter in that directory. All right. Time to open the zip containing the memcached file, and we can just download them here. Just that show also the extensions. All right, so we can see there is that memcached exe and a couple of dependencies. All right, in order to run this exe as a service, we need also an utility by Apache. Can just copy it here. It's called the pran srv. The next step consists in creating a service. So here it is. We basically install the service called the memcached automatic startup. It's an exe with the path memcached exe. And the start params are required in order to have 256, in this case, megabyte of RAM allocated by memcached, listening only on localhost. And okay, we are using the default port 11211. The service is run by the user memcached with password. Password, we can also use take a look at it. Here it is. This is the service. Here, as you can see, is showing the path for pran srv. We can start the service from here or by the command line with net start. There it is. Okay, our service is running. What we need now is an Telnet client just to check the version. Telnet is not installed, enabled by default as a feature, so we can do it by command line with a simple command. At this point we can just telnet into the localhost and check the version by just writing version. So it's 160 beta 1 and quit. Okay, the service is running. The next step consists in installing Drupal and configuring Drupal and PHP, of course. So let's start with the PHP cache. So here it is, and I'm going to copy it in the PHP directory. There it is. Next step, I'm going to start PHP Manager. Set recommendations in case there should be any. Check extensions. Here it is. Enable. Let's go back. Let's manage all settings. And let's set also the protocol to binary. Okay. Now we can start with the installation of Drupal. We go with the latest one. Which is 7.14. Just rename this to Drupal 7. Alright. Let's set also some proper permissions on the folder. And let's add Drupal 7 to the host file. We need to create a database in MySQL. We need to create a website. So we can just point to the Drupal 7 physical path, and the host name is simply Drupal 7. All right. The application pool doesn't require any .NET framework, so we say no managed code. All right, let's go to our website, Internet Explorer basic settings. Okay. So the site is here. We can go on with the configuration. So database name is going to be Drupal 7. Username the same, and password. We are connecting to the local host, so we don't need advanced options. All right, on basic settings. And our setup is finished. Now let's go on with installing the memcache module. We start by installing Drush for Windows. Let's not forget to register the environment variables. Okay. Now we can also copy the aliases that we created already in the Drush directory. There it is. So we can copy it here. We can take a look at it. So it's just saying that the Drupal 7 website has a physical path in inetpub Drupal 7. All right. Have a Drushcon prompt. Let's download the module. All right, it's downloaded. Now, before going on, we're using Notepad++ to edit a file in order to avoid an error which happens on Windows. It's on line 357. Here it is. On Windows, it's not able to find the memcache or memcached peckle module, so it raises an error. Now it's time to enable the extensions. And finally, it's time to enable support inside of our website for memcache. So let's remove the read-only flag from the settings file. And let's go in editing. We can go to the end of the file and just append a basic memcache configuration to start with. Here it is. Back to our site. Configuration, let's go on the file system settings. Create the TMP file, back to configuration, memcache, here we go. As you can see, it's showing us all the current variables which are inside of the memcache cache itself. So we can disable them like by removing the check from the checkbox, save configuration. All right, our website is currently running using memcache. Apache Solr, it's a great full-text search engine. It's optimized for high-volume web traffic, so it's perfect also for Drupal sites. It's based on Apache Lucene. You can download version 3.5.0 from the link that you see on the slide. Please note that there is already available a version 3.6.0, but there are some small issues with the current Apache Solr Drupal module. So let's see now how to enable it on Drupal in our Windows installation. So first we need to download, we can use Drush for that, the Apache Solr module. Next, let's take the Apache Solr zip file and unpack it in a directory, let's say C/Solr. Afterwards, we have to move the conf directory up one level in the directory tree, as you can see on the slide. We have to replace a couple of files in the configuration with the copies that you will find in the site's old modules, Apache Solr, Solr conf directory in your Drupal site. Note that for version 3 of Solr, we have to choose the files which end with solr3x.xml. Now we can create a Windows Solr user. So net user solr and a given password slash add is the command that we use in Windows to do that. Then we have to make sure that the password is not going to expire. And since the service, the Solr service, is going to run with this user, we need to set up a couple of user rights on the machine. We are using ntrights.exe, which is a tool available in the Windows 2003 resource kit. Note that even if you're running on 2008 R2 in this case, the tool is still valid. We have now to set the proper folder permissions. This is just a best practice. We will make sure that only the Solr user and not regular users will be able to have control of that directory. In order to run Solr, we need a Java runtime. Since it's a Java application and we want to run it as a Windows service, the easiest option is to use Apache procrun to wrap it in a Windows service. You can see the instruction on the slide. Next, we can start the service. And finally, we need to open a firewall port if we need to access Solr from a different host. In Drupal server, we have now to set up the Solr search. First, we enable the Drupal 7 model with Drush. Afterwards, we go in the admin config search settings page and we set Apache Solr as the only active search module. Next, we set it also as the default search module. Furthermore, we go on the config search Apache Solr settings and we set the Solr URL to the given server. You don't need to do that if you're running Solr on your local host, because the URL is by default set up to connect to the local host. One important thing is the auto-commit tuning of Apache Solr. By default, it's set to 2 minutes, so 120 seconds. In Drupal, this means that after your data changes are received by Solr, your search result will not be updated for 2 minutes. So to have a shorter delay, for example 20 seconds, we can change the max time in Solr config, which is set in milliseconds, so 20,000 milliseconds equals 20 seconds. Drupal sends data to Solr for indexing using cron. This might provide big delays between data changes. So we can download an additional module, which is the Elixir cron module, and we can set Drush. We can use Drush to download it and enable it. Now we can set the cron scheduling as never use external cron tab and set the Apache Solr cron settings to 2 minutes. We can do everything now in the cron settings page in the Drupal setup. Windows uses scheduled task instead of cron tab, which is a specific Unix feature. To create a scheduled task for the Drupal cron to be run, for example, every 2 minutes, we can use the command that you see on screen right now. In this case, we are just telling to use wget to connect to a given page, which in turn will trigger the cron. To do that, don't forget to put wget in your path. You can get your cron key from the admin config system cron settings page. You might want to run from time to time manually this command. To do that, use the same command but with different arguments. You can also delete the task with the same command by just using the delete switch. Drush integration is great for Solr, so you can just use a Solr search to search for any type of data. You can use a Solr index to trigger a reindexing, Solr reindex to reindex all content, and Solr delete index to delete an existing index. So this is very good for your troubleshooting requirements. We will start our installation of Solr by creating a user, which we will call simply Solr. Here we go. Let's not forget to make sure that the user password expiration is not set. Let's create directory, and let's set also proper permissions on that directory. In this case, we make sure that only the Solr user and of course administrator system and so on can enter the given directory, and so the Solr user will have also full control on it. So Solr user will need also to run a service, so we'll provide also the service logon write and the batch logon write. We are using a command called ntwrite, which is available in the Windows 2003 Resource Toolkit, which is a free download. We're running on the 2008 R2, but we can still use the old 2003 command. Now we will need to create a service, so we'll start by getting the prunsrv from Apache and copy it inside of the directory we just created. Alright. Let's download Solr. We can take the example directory and almost all the content that we have here. Some exception that we just don't need in this specific scenario. And we can just copy it here. Okay, we are done. Also, let's take this directory and bring it here. Perfect. We need now to enable Solr by in our Drupal site by downloading and enabling the Apache Solr module. Okay, this is done. So we need to copy a few configuration files. Which are 1, 2, and 3. Let's rename them. This is the schema configuration file and the SRL config. So let's rename the original one. Okay. Next, we make sure that the auto commit will not run only after 2 minutes, so which means 120 seconds, but after only 20 seconds. At this point, being Solr a Java application, we need to install a Java runtime. Let's install the last one. Time to install the service and start it. Okay, properly started. Now, if you need it for remote host access, you can also open a port in the firewall. It's not our case. What we are doing, just to make sure that everything is working. This is the default port. Here it is. This is our Solr administration site. Okay, time to do our Drupal configuration. Okay, everything is set. Now we can go back to the search. And let's go to the configuration again. go to the Apache source settings, page blocks. Change the settings here if you need it. Now let's go to the search settings and disable non-Apache server searches. And let's set also Apache server search as a default search. Alright, let's reindex everything. Good. Let's add some content. Let's create a simple article. Some basic second and test. Okay. Can also add a link. Okay, okay. No. It's the search. Search doesn't show up anything. And also here, it doesn't show up anything. The reason is that we still have to send everything to the Solr server behind. So we can do this manually for now. And just say, you'd say indexing remaining one. One item sent. Now, as we said, there are 20 seconds before autocommit kicks in. So we can just wait. And here it is. We can also go back to our website home, do a search, and here it's our result. Well, what's the problem now? The problem is that this process has to be run automatically. So we can use the normal cron, let's say, subsystem, but it's very limited because it's running only at given intervals, and it's running every type of possible service that the website needs to run. So it's not possible to say, for example, that the Apache Solr needs to run every 5 minutes, while other tasks need to run at different times. So we need a separate module for that, which is the Elysia cron. Okay. Let's download and install it. Okay. Now let's go, let's visit again the same site, same page. Now there is a new settings area here. The first thing we will notice that there it is 3 hours here. We'll change it to never use external cron tab. We will also copy this key here for later. Let's copy it in a notepad file for the moment. Save the configuration. Okay. Okay, we need also to say that our Apache Solr is not scheduled to run every hour, 15 minutes and so on, but on a custom interval, which will be every 2 minutes in our example. All right, configuration saved. Now, the problem is that on Unix, you will use a crontab to schedule this task. We don't have crontab on Windows, so we're going to use a separate command. First, we need to get wget. There are various ports for wget for Windows. We have one here, and we copy it in the Windows directory. We need it just to have it for in the path, so that's why we put it in the Windows directory. Afterwards, we need to create some proper schedule tasks. Actually, just one. Here it is, the schedule task saying, okay, let's create it, let's call it Jupyter7cron, and the task to run is wget with some parameters, and wget will go on a specific page on our website for EliseCran to trigger the cran activity. For security, we need to specify, of course, the key that we just got. Okay, afterwards we can also specify that it's going to run with the credentials of the Solr user every 2 minutes. We don't need anything else. The password for the Solr user. And here we go. Now we can also test this. We're just running it in any moment. For example, like this, we can just run it. Now we could go back to our website, go on the home. Let's say that we added this content. And we added something. We look in the configuration in the Solr search settings, we see that there is one item that needs to be indexed. So let's run our task. We can again do our search. Is not showing up anything yet. Let's take a look here. Perfect, now it's showing that everything has been indexed. Let's go back to our site. And he finds it correctly. So we can show that also on the search, it's here. Okay, this is the basic configuration for a Solr integration in Drupal.